We're gonna continue in Mark chapter 1 this morning. We're looking at verses 21 to 34, and we'll put that on the screen for you if you'd like to follow it there, or if you want to follow it along in the Pew Bible, it's page 812. So I'm going to go ahead and read this for us once again, starting with Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we ask that you'd open our hearts afresh this morning. Lord, we've entered into the presence of your spirit and the presence of the power of your word. Let us not come out on the other side unchanged. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, being that we are on the cusp of the 4th of July, if you haven't read it in a while, I'd encourage you to read the Declaration of Independence. It is a phenomenal document. I just reread it a few days ago, and remarkably, it is less about freedom and more about authority. Less about freedom, more about authority. If you recall the premise of the document, it's that the English crown had overreached with its authority over the colonies. And not far after the line we most remember, you know, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." You know that line. Comes this line. "The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states." And then about halfway through the document, if you recall, is a list about, it takes about half the document. It's a list of all these offenses. Now, hold on just a second here. Let me, my computer isn't doing what I wanted it to do. Okay, there we go. Well, and then right towards the very end of the declaration, it reveals this incredible truth. And it's not just a truth here, it's a universal truth. And if we could put this on, because I'm not getting it on my thing here, guys. There we go. Listen to this line. It says, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free." Did you catch that connection? This big universal truth, by the authority of the good people of these colonies, are and of right ought to be free. What they had to do in this document is if they were going to declare freedom, they had to change the authority, didn't they? they no longer could have the authority of the crown representing them, lest that authority dictate certain freedoms. They had to change the authority of them to the people, which would dictate different freedoms. This is a long way to state, essentially, this incredible truth that freedom is dictated by authority. Let me say that again. Freedom is dictated by authority. And this morning, I want to talk about that is just as much a sociological, political truth as it is a spiritual truth. That only one who has spiritual authority can grant spiritual freedom. And some of the greatest hurdles we struggle with in our journey of discipleship have a lot to do with us not giving Jesus authority over those areas in our lives. So, in our passage this morning, Mark makes quite the declaration, right? I mean, he's writing this out. He wants you to see Jesus in his authority. And so, and there are fireworks, amen? So what happens is, as Jesus enters the synagogue, guys, if we could switch slide, please. As Jesus enters the synagogue and begins teaching, right away, verse 22, people are astounded. Why are they astounded? What does it say? It's the authority he had when he was teaching, right? He taught as one having authority. Now the scribes, the teachers of the law, when they would teach, they would kind of lean in on this thing called the scribal tradition. In other words, they look to those who came before them, quote them. Kind of like what pastors do today, right? If I really want to nail a theological piece home, I don't say, and Josh says, no, because who's Josh? I'll say, and John Calvin says, right? I'll look to John Calvin. Why? Well, because of his authority as a trusted biblical expositor or theologian, right? We trust what John Calvin says. There's a deep authority there, or we, you know, for the most part, right? Well, the same way, the scribes would say, well, according to Rabbi so-and-so, we all know that X, Y, Z, whatever the thing is that they're trying to, you know, use that authority to help them with. But then Jesus comes in, and he essentially says, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z, but he's not quoting anybody. He's just saying it as if it's just the truth. And every time he speaks it with just the authority as if he himself is declaring it. And people are looking at this going, is this a new teaching? He's not quoting anybody. He's saying it as if he himself has authority to make these declarations. And people are going, wow, wow. Some people are probably like, is this good? Is this bad? What's going on? But then this wild thing happens. As he's in the midst of doing this, somebody right there in the room starts acting kind of strange. Because of the authority that is in Jesus, there's an unclean spirit that cannot remain silent. And so, once again, Jesus does something kind of authoritative. The rabbis of the time would have worked through a process here with an unclean spirit, right? They would have had just a kind of a way of exorcism, for lack of better terms, that they would have dressed this. What does Jesus do? Be quiet and leave. And what does the spirit do? He leaves, right? Like we said a couple weeks ago, even to this day, there is a truth, and that is, when Jesus tells Satan to flee, what does Satan have to do? Flee. Why? Because he has authority, right? That's our next slide here. All things, they were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. They're in new territory here. They're not exactly sure what to make. And they really don't know what to make because they have no idea who he is, right? There's only a couple people who really have a clue as to who he is at this point. But the only way Jesus can teach this way, can cast out evil spirits, is because of the authority that's been given to him by the Father. If we put it Matthew 11:27 here, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Well, Jesus isn't done yet, is he? So now he's going to go to Peter's mother-in-law's house. She's got a fever. What's he going to do? He's going to heal her, just like that. But he's not done there either. He's going to continue to go on, because what happens next is what I think is one of the craziest nights in Jesus' ministry. There is this pregnant moment that is developed that entire afternoon. Jesus is at the synagogue. Everybody sees what he does. Verse 28 tells us, at once his fame began to spread. And so everybody's waiting. He goes to Jesus, or Peter's mother-in-law's house, heals her. Word is continuing to spread. And it's just, it's almost like if you can imagine just this pregnant moment just getting bigger and bigger and bigger as word goes out. Did you go to synagogue today? Did you see what that guy did? It was amazing. The demon listened to him. He was teaching like he was himself the author. And everybody's talking and talking and talking. And the word's probably leaking out. I heard he went over to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law right on the spot. And there's this one problem, though. Nobody's going to do anything, because what day is it? It's still the Sabbath. And nobody wants to leave. Whew, amen. And nobody wants to leave, because, get the door closed on him is why. Because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to carry anything or anybody on the Sabbath. But when does Sabbath end? Sundown. And our text tells us, verse 32, that evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. Do you have those moments when you read the Bible, you're like, I really wish I could have seen that? This is one of them for me. Every time I read this passage, I think, oh, can you imagine what that would have been like to be there, to be in that place? You know, to see the whole community come out, and one by one, Jesus is just going on and praying for these people, and suddenly they're being healed, and suddenly demons are being cast out of people, and I can't imagine, but just one by one they're going, and essentially what you're seeing is you're seeing people being set free in this incredible way. I can't imagine. It must have been beautiful. There's tears that were shed. There's rejoicing. You want to talk about a glimpse of eternity? It's happening right there in their midst. But here's the thing. Most of the people there had no idea who this guy is. This has all happened in about 24 hours. Have no idea who this guy is. To them, maybe people are wondering, but what they're certain of is this is the most amazing miracle worker I've ever seen or heard of in my life. And Jesus wouldn't let the demons say who he was. So in all reality, there's only one group of people, one tiny group of people, who have a clue as to who he is. There's only one group of people that were there when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus at his baptism and heard the voice of the Father saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And who is it? It's the disciples. It's the disciples. We began the series by saying, you have to read Mark as if you're reading everything that's happening through the lens of Jesus walking with his disciples, because they are there every step of the way. What is Jesus showing his disciples right now? Because they know. They have a clue. They don't fully understand, but they have a clue. This guy, this is the Messiah. This is somehow the Son of God. They're still putting it together at this point. And I believe what Jesus is demonstrating to them is this, once again, this concept, freedom is dictated by authority. And when Jesus takes authority, people are set free. And they're seeing it firsthand. They're seeing it. This idea, it's critical, y'all. It is critical as disciples of Jesus to understand. Because we see Jesus, when Jesus is the one with the authority, it changes the way we understand how the whole world works today, right? It changes our hope. It changes the way we pray. It changes what we believe is possible in our lives and the lives of others. If you want to talk about real Christian transformation, the kind of transformation where people's lives are changed, you can't arrive at those conclusions unless you believe Jesus has the authority to do those kinds of works. Why? Because freedom is dictated by authority. And so what kind of freedom are we talking about here? What kind of freedom is Jesus demonstrating to his disciples and therefore really demonstrating to us who we would call ourselves disciples today of Jesus? Well, I think the first is really obvious, right? The confrontation with the unclean spirit. Jesus has authority to set people free from the bondage of sin. Jesus has authority over the power of sin. I like how William Barclay puts it. He says, Christian freedom does not mean being free to do as we like. It means being free to do as we ought. In other words, we're capable of seeing sin for what it is. It doesn't mean that we don't still choose to do it, but we know what it is. And he has authority over it. This is one of those great works of the Holy Spirit. I think we grow to love it. That he doesn't let us be satisfied with our sin. Amen? You know this, right? Like even when you willfully sin, you're just deeply unsatisfied with it. You're deeply unsatisfied with what it produces in you. You're deeply unsatisfied with who you become through it. Because the Spirit convicts us. He draws us back to Christ even though our own failures and inadequacies would lead us to think otherwise. And the ones that seems to happen the most are those habitual sins, right? Things like comparison that we do all the time, or living in fear that we do, or doubt, or lust, or materialism, or anger, the juicy stuff, right? The stuff that's always there, it's that daily struggle that we're finding ourselves battling with all the time. But because of his authority, even when we struggle with these things, this is amazing. Even when we struggle with these things, the Spirit uses them to remind us of our deep need of grace. They become the realities that tether us to the grace of Christ. Is that not the ultimate kick in the teeth to sin and death? That even when we're failing, Jesus is winning? That he's still progressing his freedom in our lives? That's mind-boggling to me. You can absolutely fail, and Jesus is like, don't worry, it leads to victory. You'll be fine. And we know that the bigger picture, that sin's power, that sin doesn't have power over our standing before God because of the authority of Jesus. But here's the thing. If as disciples we struggle with this, with giving authority to Jesus, by thinking it's all about my good works, it leads us to guilt and it leads us to shame. Amen? So that even when we're struggling, all we feel is guilt and shame. We don't feel conviction, we feel guilt and shame. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you right now, if you feel guilt and you feel shame, you don't feel it producing that good work in you, and I want to encourage you this morning, release that authority to Jesus. He has been, is, and will always be the only one who has authority over sin and death in your life. So brothers and sisters, if it's shame and if it's guilt, that's a good sign to say that's an area that I'm struggling with giving Jesus authority in my life, because it should produce conviction and freedom. Amen? Right, that's one area. That's one area. Another area that his authority is shaping us is that we're free to be whole in Jesus. You know, I can't help but wonder the looks. You talk about wanting to be there and see this. Part of what I want to see is the looks on the disciples' face, maybe even the look on my own face, when people are walking out who were hopeless. They were hopeless.
But now all of a sudden, deaf people are walking out singing perfect pitch. Sick people are walking out dancing. Every healing is momentary. I get that. Every healing's momentary. But the message is clear that Jesus is the one that brings wholeness to humanity. And they're watching it gone. Just one after the next. Brothers, sisters, I think the average person, they want wholeness in their lives. Even people who aren't in the faith, they want to feel whole. That's why I think there's a lot of people who are trying to be made whole through things that will never deliver. If I buy one more thing, maybe that'll do it. Or if I pursue one more pleasure, one more time, maybe that'll be the one that finally gets it. If I make a little more money, get more people to like my posts online, or just get more people to like me, right? If I get the house where I want it, get the job where I want it, get the kids or the grandkids where I want them, the education that I want, the future that I want. It's a long list, amen? And so many people go from item to item their whole lives discovering that freedom is dictated by authority and that none of these things have the authority to set me free. And so I'll go to the next one and the next one. As disciples of Jesus, I think this is something we can pray over ourselves because we're not immune from that. We still try to farm out our freedom to other things. But we also have people in our lives that we're praying for, that we're looking, we're saying, they are stuck in so much bondage. I wish they could see what they're stuck in. Here's a prayer for you, just something to consider as a disciple. You can pray this over yourself. You can pray this over others. God, would you expose the authority these things have on my life, have on their life, so that I could see the bondage and long for wholeness in you. Lord, would you expose that bondage in their life so that they'd long for you. It's another place that Jesus' authority brings us freedom. There's one last one. This one's short. When I was reading this passage this week, the piece that really got me was, once again, it's that scene of just, and part of it is that you just have to imagine it, right? The text doesn't give it to you fully. You have to imagine what it would have felt like to watch person after person being set free, to just see the tears of individuals who had, maybe from birth kind of things, all of a sudden healed, or to see people who were on the edge of death pulled back, or to see people who are on the edge of bondage set free. I'm blown away by it because the only thing I can think of that compares to it is eternity. Is eternity. And once again, I think Jesus' authority gives us the right to dream of eternity. No more sickness, no more death, no more hate, no more striving, no more fear, no more tears. Once again, in our text, it's just a glimpse. It's just a glimpse of it, but it's there. And I think the disciples, they probably saw it for just a moment, like, wow, this is what we're getting into. This picture of eternal redemption and restoration that only Jesus can give. Scripture tells us that the one that the Son sets free is free indeed. That today, tomorrow, and every day after, you can celebrate Dependence Day. That you depend on His authority. And that only He is the one that can do any of this. And so, brothers and sisters, as you see the fireworks go up, inevitably, you might hear them. You might not see them. If you don't see them, you'll definitely hear them, right? Let him just be a reminder, friends, of the freedom that you have in Christ, that he has the authority over every single aspect of this world And as disciples, the more we grow in that authority, the more we keep discovering freedom after freedom after freedom, all the way into eternity, when we see we're even free from the power of death. And that's good news, amen? Let me pray for us. Jesus, we want to be free. We want to be free in you in ways that just, that there are still surprises, Lord. And I ask, Lord, would you surprise us from time to time? Just like in this moment here with the disciples, no doubt they were surprised. Would you surprise us from time to time with the freedoms that you give us? Holy Spirit, I once again ask, if in giving this word, themes of guilt and shame popped up in our hearts, we just know that that's not freedom, and you've not called us to live in that. And so instead, Lord, for whoever that was amongst us, and probably maybe all of us to some degree, Lord, I pray that you would enthrall us with the idea of freedom and transformation that only comes through you. We want to be yours and yours alone. Transform us. Cling to us. Help us to cling to you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, because you're the only one who's worthy. Jesus, amen.